Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Yud Gimel. We are in the middle of a machlokes between three Tanoim. We had the opinion of Rav Meir in regards to when you can eat chametz on the morning of Erev Pesach Yud Dalad Nisan. And Rav Meir's opinion was the most likely. He said you can eat chametz all through the first 5 hours of the day up until the sixth hour of the day when chametz becomes Asur Midrabanan. So in the fourth and fifth hour, no problem, you can eat all sorts of chametz. You had the in-between opinion of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel said that everybody agrees up until the fourth hour, including the fourth hour, all agree that you can eat chametz. In the fifth hour, that's where the machlokas is. Rabban Gamliel says that in the fifth hour, you can only eat chametz that is truma, but you can't eat chametz that is chulin. And in the sixth hour, of course, it becomes awesome in the Rabbanan. Everybody agrees to that. And you have the most machmir opinion, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can eat chametz up to and including the fourth hour. In the fifth hour, you can't eat any chametz at all. It's tolin. You're not allowed to eat it. You can still get hanoah from it. And in the sixth hour, you must get rid of it, midi Rabbanan. So this is the three-way machlokas we had in the Mishnah. How do we paskin? So we begin three lines from the top, Yud Gimel Omud Aleph. Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rav tells us, Rabbi Nachman tells us the name of Rav, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the most machmir opinion, that tolin in the fifth hour, you're not allowed to go and eat chametz, whether it's truma or whether it's cholin. Mori says, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked to Rav Nachman, v'nei mamar halachik Rav Meir, why did you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? We should have paskin like Rav Meir. Why is that? Because the sosam lon tana kavose, because we're going to have a stam mishnah that follows the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, we normally have a rule. Rabbi Yochanan tells us a famous rule throughout Shas that we paskin like a stam mishnah. When Rabbi redacted all the mishnayis and he put certain mishnayis in without giving a name to them, he didn't say this is the name of the Rav Meir, this is the name of Yehuda, this is the name of Rabbi Gamliel. So then, in that situation, we paskin like that stam mishnah. And therefore, why don't we paskin like the stam mishnah? We're going to have on Chof Aleph on the base at the beginning of the next parak, where it tells us that none, kol shor shemuter lechol, any time that you're allowed to still eat chametz, machel, you can go feed it to your animals. Now, that seems to suggest that in the fifth hour, when you're allowed to feed it to your animals, you're still allowed to eat chametz, which is exactly the opinion of Rav Meir. So we seem to have a stam mishnah like Rav Meir. Why did Rav Nachman Amar Rav paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? That's the question that Rav asked to Rav Nachman. Our answer is, Hai lev stomahu. That mishnah is not a stam mishnah. As we will see in a second, that mishnah is the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. Now, why is that? Mishum de kasha mutter. Because the wording of that mishnah is a little bit funny. It said in the mishnah, kosha shemutter lecho. Rashi explains when it says that it's mutter to go and eat it, so it should have just said, kosha sheochel machel. Whenever you can eat it, you can be machel. But it doesn't use that lashon. And the word Rashi says, umutter is mashma, kosha shemutter odom acher lecho. When somebody else can eat it, i.e. a kohen can go and eat truma during that period of time, so then machel, you are allowed to go feed your animal. Seha asu lecho, the person who is asu to eat, as long as somebody else can still eat, then a kohen can still eat truma, that is tahora, during the fifth hour, then you can still feed your animal chametz, that is chulin, during that fifth hour. So this is a stam mishnah that is not like, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a stam mishnah that is like Rabban Gamliel. And the Tosa says, so then we should be saying, then we have a stam mishnah like Rabban Gamliel. Why don't we ask that question? That's not really what the Gemara is going to say. The Gemara is going to say that we should paskin like Rabban Gamliel for a different reason. And Tosas explains that's really because we're going to be going like the Ibayis Ema that we're going to say in a moment, and therefore the Gemara didn't even bother saying that this is a stam mishnah like Rabban Gamliel. Instead, the Gemara now says, okay, you don't have a stam mishnah that is like Rav Meir, so our question that Rav asked of Nachman falls off, and therefore it's okay for Rav Nachman Omar Rav to say that Loch is Rekhav Yehuda based upon we not having a Stam Mishnah, and as Tosas explains, it's not going to be a Stam Mishnah like Rabban Gamliel either. But now the Gemara says, so why didn't Rav Nachman Omar Rav say that we pass it like Rabban Gamliel? The name of Mar Loch Rabban Gamliel. Now why is that? Not because it's a Stam Mishnah, as Tosas explains, but because the Havale Machria. We have a rule. When you have two people that are having a machlokis, you have one Tana that says A, another Tana says C, so they're opposite opinions. If another Tana comes along and says B, an in-between opinion, it's a little bit like A and a little bit like C, so then this is called Hadeya Hashlishi Yachriya Benehem. The third opinion, which is in some ways it's ganging up against each of the other opinions. In some way, the Deya B is agreeing with A, so now you have a majority, A and B, against C. And in some ways it agrees with C against A, so now you have B and C against A. So this is called Be'ah Shlishi Achriya Bineihem. So you have a majority opinion when you add the Tana B to either A or C under certain circumstances. So he's the middle opinion, and it's like a pshara, and therefore we paskin like this middle opinion. So why doesn't the Gemara tell us that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel? In other words, Rav Nachman Amar Rav should tell us the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel because it's the day Ashlishi Achriya Bineihem, right? Rabbi Meir says that Chametz is mutter in the fifth hour. Rabbi Yehuda says that Chametz is also in the fifth hour. And along comes Rabbi Gamliel and says, sometimes Rabbi is right, sometimes Rabbi Yehuda is right. When it comes to regular chulin, then Rabbi Yehuda is right. Chametz is also during the fifth hour. When it comes to truma, so then Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. Rabbi Meir is right. And therefore, this is the Deah Shlishi Achriya Bineihem. So Gemara says, this is not a typical case of a Deah Shlishi Achriya Bineihem. Amalei, Gemara says, no, Rabbi Gamliel, lav machriyahu, tam denav shei kamar. He's not compromising and saying in some way A is right, in some way C is right. No, he's a totally separate opinion. He's tam denaf shekamar. He's giving his own opinion. Rav Meir never said anything about Truma versus Chulin. Rav Yehuda never said anything about Truma versus Chulin. And along comes Rabbi Gamliel, who says, I think there's a difference between Chulin and Truma. Therefore, he's not a compromised opinion that we should say, he's a third opinion. And therefore, there is no reason to paskin automatically like Rabbi Gamliel. And therefore, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, he says that Loch is like Rabbi Yehuda. That's version one of why Rav Nachman Amar Rav said that halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Second version, Vibayi Seima, Rav, the Amar Ki Haitana. Rav is in fact going like a different Tana, and that's why he's saying that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. What is that different Tanya? The Tanya. Learned in the Braisa the following. The Braisa tells us, our boss saw Shecholios B'Shabbos. When Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, like it does this year, it's that rare, one of those rare occurrences where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Mivarin es hakol milifnei Shabbos. So you have the paradoxical situation where you have to do the Bedikas Chametz on Yud Gimel at the night, Friday night, and then you're going to burn the Chametz on Yud Gimel, because you can't burn the Chametz on Shabbos. You're going to have a little bit left over Chametz on Shabbos morning, as will Mir Tzashem see in our Gemara, and Mir Tzashem in practice, and you're going to have to get rid of that Chametz. You can't burn it, because you're not allowed to burn Chametz on Shabbos. So what do you do? Mevarin es hakol mifnei HaShabbos. The Tana, this Braisa tells us that you must go and destroy everything, get rid of everything. You have to do beer on all your Chametz before Shabbos starts, on Yud Gimel. And therefore, the sarfin trumos, you burn even truma, tomatoes, anything that is tome, tluyos, or any truma that is tolui, we're not sure if it's tome, we're not sure if it's tar, utahoros, or even if it's tahar. Anything has to be burnt. All your chametz, whether it's tar, tola, or actual tome, you have to go and burn all your chametz before Shabbos on Yud Gimel. But you want to have a little bit of chametz left over for Friday night and for Shabbos morning meals. U'mashayirin minat tohoros, you leave over from that which is edible, i.e. that which is tar, if it's truma. Mazon shtei se'udos, you have to leave over food for two meals. The whole big question is, how do you do shalashudis on Erev Pesach Shcholios b'Shabbos? There are a number of different ways to do this. Amir Tzashem, we will eventually get to that discussion, but not today. So, in any event, you're leaving over two meals to have at least two meals on Shabbos. The third meal, there are those that say that you'll have to have Shalashudas, not having a hamotzi, because you can't have matzah past the chatzos, because you're not allowed to have matzah on the Erev Pesach. So some people will try to have two meals. They'll daven vasikin, they'll daven hashkama very early in the morning. They'll have one meal, they'll take a spatzir around the block, and then they'll have a second meal, and they'll have shalashudas before the fifth hour of the day. And this way they can have challah rolls, real chametz, and then they'll dispose of any leftover crumbs. The remaining chametz, yeah, you'll flush it down the toilet, or you'll dispose of it in the street, in dispersing it in some way. In any event, right now they're only talking about shteis sudos. You have to have at least two sudos. Kidei lechol ad arbashos, and you can eat them up until the end of the fourth hour of the day. And this is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ish Bar Tosa. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, who comes from a place called Bar Tosa. Sha'am Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, and he said it over the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So clearly here, this Tana holds that you have to get rid of stuff by the fourth hour, lechol ad arba shos. And this is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. This will be the Braisa that Rabbi Nachman Amar Rav uses to support his opinion that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But not everybody agrees that Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bar tosa. Amar lo, so the Chachamim said to him, no, tohoros lo yisrafu, don't go and burn the tohoros on Yud Gimel, because guess what? Shema yimtzu lem ochlin. We have an issa, you're not allowed to go and destroy Truma, that is Tahora. As Rashi and Tosfos tell us, the pasuk tells us that es mishmeres trumos soy, both types of truma, truma tahora and truma teya, you're not allowed to go and destroy it. You have to go keep it as much as you can. So therefore, certainly the tahora slow yisrofu because shema yivin sulem ochlin. Maybe a kohen is going to come by and you're going to be able to give him this truma instead of having to go burn it on your gimel. So what did Rabbi Elazar and Yehuda Ishbar Tosfos respond? Amar lahem. He tells them, Kvar Bikshu Lomotsu. The guy knows his town. He asked, are there any Kohanim here? There are no Kohanim here. Or the Kohanim had more than enough Truma that they weren't going to be able to take his Truma and eat it before Pesach started. And therefore, there was no alternative. Kvar Bikshu Lomotsu. The Chum said back to Reloza Ishbartusa, he said, no, Shema Chutz L'Chomolonu. Maybe there is somebody in town that you don't even know is here. He's within the Chum, but he's outside the city walls, so you don't even know that he's here. And then tomorrow morning he's going to come, and you could have given him the truma, and in fact you burnt it all on your gimel. Therefore, don't burn it. Amalem. So Rabbi Elazar Ishbartusa tells him back, no, the derechem according to you. So then, why are we burning the tluyos? You agree with me that you burn the tluyos, you burn the stuff that is not definitely tamei, but you're not allowed to eat it because it's a sofik that it's tamei. So we normally leave it until it gets destroyed on its own or it spoils on its own, and then we can go and get rid of it. But you're not allowed to go burn it with your hand because maybe it's actually tahora. So according to you, at tluyos lo yisrafu, we shouldn't burn the tluyos as well. Why not? Because you know what? Shemayovo Eliyahu v'itarin. Because maybe Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come and he's going to tell us the answer to our sofik. Did they touch the sheretz? Did they not touch the sheretz? He's going to say no, it didn't touch the sheretz, and they're actually tahorim, and therefore they still can be eaten. So according to you, if you're concerned about maybe Shema, you might say Kohen, maybe you're going to have a Kohen come. So why don't we say that maybe Elio is going to come as well? So just like we say, according to you, Shema Yimzulem Oakland, maybe you'll find Kohanim that are going to come and be able to eat the Truma that is definitely Tahora. So maybe Elio is going to come and tell us that this Tuluyos, this Sofek, whether it's Tomei or not, is in fact not Tomei, and we'll be able to go and eat it. So what do you say to that? So the Chum say, no, we have a Kabbalah that Elio is not coming on Yantiv. Amalo, Kvar Mutu Lemel Yisrael, we've already been promised, She'ein Elio Ba, Elio is not coming, Lo Ba'arvi Shabbosos, Lo Ba'arvi Yom Tovim. He's not coming every Shabbos or Yantiv because we're going to be too busy preparing for Shabbos and Yantiv. And if Elio comes, Mipnei HaTorach, he's going to take us away from preparing for the Shabbos and Yantiv. As Rashi says, She'esh Lem Lasuk B'sud HaShabbos. If they're going to spend time with Elio, greeting Elio, as we all wait in Mitzvah Hashem every day, we want Elio to come and herald the coming of Mashiach every single day. Hashem said, I don't want us to take away from the Kiddush of Shabbos and Yontif, so don't worry, he's not going to come on Shabbos and Yontif. So therefore, that's why they said, the Tluyos, we don't have to be concerned. That was the Braisa. And therefore, Amru, they said, Chazal said, that Lo Zozim Yisham, they didn't move from there. In other words, they did the Psak Halacha, and they decided, Asher Kavu Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, Ish Bar Tzusa. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, Ish Bar Tzusa, he was paskin like him, Shom Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, that the Halacha is, seemingly, that it says that you have to go and burn everything, so by the fourth hour, there shouldn't be any chametz left. After the fourth hour. That's exactly the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why, based upon this Raisa, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav said that looks like Rabbi Yehuda. Moreh says, not necessarily so. This Raisa is not automatically a support of the Tanoic opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because you're telling us over here that this is until the fourth hour you're allowed to eat, implying that you can't eat afterwards. My love, afilu lecho, that even in the fifth hour you're not allowed to eat. That's how you're interpreting the braisa. Maybe not. I'm Rav Papa, Mishmei the Rav. Rav Papa said the name of Rav Lo. It means levar, that you're not allowed to go and keep any chametz around. Even the truma tahora, you have to go burn it before Shabbos. In that respect, they paskin that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bar tosa, but not in regards to that you must eat it by the fourth hour. Maybe, in fact, that statement, you could still eat the chulin that you left over for Shabbos morning up until the end of the fifth hour, like Rav Meir holds. And therefore, this brisa is not a good support to Rav Nachman Amar Rav, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rav Papa says the name of Rav. We try again. We'll show you that Rav Nachman Amar Rav, that the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda is correct. The Avs Rebbe saw the Rav Nachman. Rebbe also held like Rav Nachman Amar Rav. Of course, Rebbe was earlier, and what's saying is Rebbe held like the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Ravin by Rav Ada, that Ravin by Rav Ada said, Ma'isav Adamecha, there once was a story, happened with a certain person, Shehifkid Diskia, a Diskia is Du Sak. It's like a double saddlebag that has two leather pouches to it. And he had this gear that he gave, it was filled with chametz, to somebody else. It's a Yochanan Chakukah. He gave it to Yochanan, who either came from the city of Chakukah, we had this on Daf Gimel, or Tosfos there said in Rabbeinu Chananel that he was a sofer, that he was a writer, a scribe. In any event, this Yochanan Chakukah now had a bag full of chametz. And unfortunately, Nikvua Achbarim, mice came and made a hole in this bag, and the chametz was coming out of this bag. And unless he used up his chametz, all the chametz would spill out and it would go to waste. So he didn't know what to do. Normally, when a person is given something to hold as a deposit, you're not allowed to go and use it. But here, it was causing the person a financial loss. So he went before Rabbi, Balufnei Rabbi, this Yochanan Chakukah, came in front of Rabbi and said, "What should I do? The person's losing all his chametz over here." Now, it was Erev Pesach. So, Shor Rishona Amalamte, in the first hour of Yudali, said, "No, wait, maybe the person's going to come and he'll be able to eat his chametz and it won't go to waste." So he said, don't do anything to it. Shnia Amalamte, he said, in the second hour, "Rebbe, what should I do?" And Rebbe told him, "No, wait." Shlishis in the third hour of the day, Erev Pesach, he came to him, Amalot, still, Hamtein, don't do anything yet. Revi is Amalot Hamtein. In the fourth hour, he told him, "No, don't do anything, because the person who owns this chametz could still come back and he would be able to eat it." But at the end of the fourth hour, Chamishis, in the fifth hour, Amalot say, Umochro Bashuk. It was now the fifth hour, he said, "Go and sell it in the marketplace." In other words, go and save this guy the loss. Otherwise, his chametz would be going totally to waste. And now he'll be able to get at least a small amount of money for the chametz. Gemara says, who did he sell it to? My lav lenochrim, ki Rabbi Yehuda. Didn't he obviously go and sell it in the marketplace to non-Jewish people because it was the fifth hour and Jewish people are allowed to get hanah from the chametz, but they're not allowed to eat the chametz at this point in time. So Rabbi is clearly passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm Rav Yosef, maybe not. Rav Yosef said, lo, Yisrael, maybe. Rabbi told him, go sell it in the marketplace and sell it to a yid. And a yid can go and eat it, Rabbi Meir, like the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So who says that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Huda? In fact, this story, this Maisa Shehoya, could actually be in support that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Meir. Now this was said by Rabbi Yosef, that maybe he meant that he could sell it to a Yid. But along comes his Talmud, Amalei Abaye, no, Rabbi, Eli Yisrael, Nishkele Lenafshe. He said, if it was selling it to a Jew, he went to the marketplace, then why did he have to go sell it to a Jew? He could have just eaten it himself. Nishkele Lenafshe. So why would Rebbe have told him, now go sell it in the marketplace? He could have said, now you go and eat it, and you'll reimburse him for what you ate. And this way, the person who gave you this pikadon of chametz will not lose out. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, that would be a problem for a different reason, not from a chametz point of view. You're right. From a chametz point of view, the yid himself could have eaten in the fifth hour, but he told him, go sell it in the marketplace, say umochro bashuk, to remove any chashad, mishum chashoda, because people will say, oh yeah, sure, you're giving him $5, but you really ate $10 worth of chametz, and therefore, it's a problem, mishum chashoda. And we have a rule, v'yu nikiyim, me Hashem or me Yisrael. A person always has to go act in a way that he'll be totally above suspicion. And in this situation, people would suspect and mock him and say, yeah, sure, you only ate $5 worth of chametz. You really ate $10 worth of chametz, and you're only giving him $5. And we see that this idea is brought down in the Braisa, that the person has to always be well above suspicion. The Tanya says in the Braisa, Agabai Tzedakah, the people that are in charge of Tzedakah, now, they have money that they've collected, but Baruch Hashem, there are no poor people for them to give the money to. Now, their coins used to spoil. They didn't have money that was worth the face value of what it was. They had money that was worth what it literally was worth. So if they had copper coins, the copper coins would go and get rubbed out. And if you kept the copper coins for a while, they would deteriorate in value. So they would switch them for gold coins or silver coins. So Gabbai Tzedakah, she'en lahem aniyim l'chalek, they had money, and they had no aniyim to give the money to. Partin la'cheru, they should go and give the coins of nechoshes that they had to a money changer or someone else and go get silver coins for it. So this way, you could guarantee that you're getting 100% the fair value and the aniyim aren't going to lose out. Because if they exchange it themselves, importantly, atzmon, people are going to say, yeah, sure, that was $5 worth of silver, that was really $10 worth of silver, but they kept the coins to themselves, and they only gave $5 worth of silver, and they kept $10 worth of nechoshes coins. So when you do it with somebody else, there'll be no questions raised. They'll be well above suspicion. Likewise, Gabbai Tamchoi, the people that were literally in charge of the food platters, the people that were in charge of Tomchei Shabbos, that's the Tamchoi was the public place where they would give out meals to the people Nebuchadnezzar that didn't have anything. So if they made food, and then Baruch Hashem, there's leftover food. There aren't that many aniyim. She'ein lahem aniyim l'chalek. So now they have food for Shabbos. What are they going to do with this food for Shabbos? Mochel lachem. They should sell it to other people, keep the money, they'll use the money for next week's Tomchei Shabbos. Ve'ein mochel l'asmut. They shouldn't sell it to themselves, again, because people are going to say, yeah, sure, you only paid $5 for that, but you took $10 worth of food. So in order to be above suspicion, they don't do it that way. You go and sell it to somebody else. So 12 years, Rabbi Yosef said, the Braisa tells us, go and say, Umochur Bashuk, sell the chametz and the fit down the shuk. Not because you couldn't eat it yourself, because we pass it like Rav Meir. You could have eaten it yourself, but go sell it to another yid, so you're above suspicion. And this is based upon the Pasuk, Mishum Shenemar, Yisim Nikim, Me Hashem, Umi Yisro. That a person should always be, not only in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you didn't do anything wrong, but even you should be above suspicion from people. The people are going to suspect you of doing something wrong, even though you know you didn't, and Hashem knows you didn't do something. But since people will suspect you, you should always make sure your reputation is stellar and that nobody should suspect you. So that's what Rav Yosef said. Maybe that's what the case was over here, and that's why the Braisa is not a raya to Rabbi Yehuda, but could be a raya to Rav Meir. Now, the person who said this was Rav Yosef. We have throughout Shas that Rav Yosef was a huge Talmud Chacham, but he never got sick and he lost a lot of his learning. So his Talmidim would often remind him of this. So Amalei, Rav Adda Bar Masna, Rav Yosef. So one of the Talmidim, normally it's a Abaye that says this, but here we have Rav Adda Bar Masna says it to Rav Yosef. No, you yourself, before you got sick, you taught us that this Bryce would say, Umochul Bashuk, was Bedavka. You said, say Umochul Anochrim. You specifically taught us that this Bryce was specifically saying that you have to go sell in the marketplace, not because of this Chashada that you're going to go and underpay for it, but because, in fact, it's Osir in the fifth hour, and say Umochul Anochrim, Kir Rabbi Yehuda, and you yourself learned this brisa exactly like the opinion of Yehuda, and that's why Rav Nachman Amar Rav said that this brisa is in support of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why Rav Nachman Amar Rav and the Rebbe paskened like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, a little bit more about this story. Amar Rav Yosef, Kiman Azlo Hoshmai, said the Rebbe. This story where Rebbe said that we paskin over here, that the person shouldn't sell the chametz, he shouldn't sell the chametz until the fifth hour. Now it's going to be a financial loss. Now you can go sell the chametz, but until then, don't go and sell it. Who did Rebbe go like? So the Gemara says that Rebbe held like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. Rebbe said, when you don't sell the chametz here in the first 4 hours, wait till the last moment, he held like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. What did Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel say? If not, we have a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, which tells us, if a person gives fruit to somebody else, now the fruit are going to spoil if they're not used. He didn't come back in time, and the fruits are possibly going to spoil. So even if they're going to totally spoil, and it'll be a huge financial loss for the person who deposited them, you don't have a right to go and do anything with that deposit. Lo yiga behen. The person who's watching this pikadon is not allowed to do anything with them. He wasn't entrusted with anything other than watching them. And the Tanakam over here says, don't do anything. Lo yiga bohen. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says differently. He says, Omer, mochron bebeistin. You go sell them bebeistin. Again, you nikiyim meshem yisrael. Don't go keep them for yourself and say, well, they were $5 worth of fruit when they really were $20 worth of fruit. People are going to suspect you. So go and sell them in beistin. Mipnei hashavas aveda. Because this person who deposited the fruit with you wants you to go and sell them. He doesn't want to come back and say, well, here's all your spoiled fruit. I'm sorry it's spoiled, but what can I do? No, he wants you to say, well, your fruit was spoiling. I went to the beistin. The beistin authorized this for a $20 sale. And I sold it for $20. Here's your $20. That's what the person would be happy about. And this is hashavas aveda. And therefore, Rebbe said the same thing. Go and sell it in the marketplace. Now you have no choice. There's a certain financial loss over here. I'm preventing this financial loss. So Rebbe held like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. Abaye says, not necessarily so. Abaye tells his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, the La Vitmar law. Didn't we say already about this Mishnah in Bava Metzia the following? Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu. We said this brisa only that the Tanakhama says that you're lo yigah behem, you're not allowed to touch it. Lo shanu elo, we turn to the Amud Beis, v'chdei chisaron. That's when he said don't touch it, when it has its normal loss. When a person deposits fruits, he knows, let's say one-tenth of the fruits are going to spoil until he comes back 3 days later. So he accepts that. That's a known, acceptable loss. So if it's the normal v'chdei chisaron, then the Tanakhama said, don't do anything with it. The person knew this and was willing to accept this loss. Therefore, don't sell his fruit. He wants his fruit. He doesn't want you to give him $20 for it. He wants his fruit. But if it's spoiling at a larger rate than you expected, so then even the Tanakhama is molded to Rabbim Shimon Gamliel, Mochron, the Beis Din. In that situation, you sell it. Everybody agrees Hashavas Aveda. The Koshkein Hachin here, certainly, it's not just it's a higher loss than expected. Instead of a 10% loss, it's a 20% loss. Here it's a 100% loss. Da Pside Legamre. So everybody agrees when we say that Rebbe told him to go and sell it in the fifth hour, it wasn't just going according to Shimon Gamliel, it was going even according to the Tanakhama. It was Lekuli Alma, because here it's a total loss. Now we go back and quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda shtei chalos v'chulei." In the Mishnah, we had simanim. We had the putting up on top of a platform, as we'll see on the Gog, not the Gav. We'll have that in a moment. We said that they put up two chalos from a carbon toda that were psulos, that weren't able to be eaten. And they use them as simanim. They would take one off at a certain time, and people know that now you're not allowed to eat chametz, and they would take the second one off, and now people know that you have to burn chametz. So these were the time clocks. This was like the blowing of the shofar to let people know that certain times had come and certain things needed to be done. So the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yehuda, one of the Amoraim was learning our Mishnah, or Brisos, in front of Rav Yehuda, and he said that the Mishnah's Lashon should be Al Gav Ha'itzdaba. He put it on the top of the platform, of the benches that they had around the Har Bais. And Rav Yehuda said that's incorrect. Amale, don't read it as Al Gav Ha'itzdaba, but read it instead as Al Gag Ha'itzdaba. V'chilatz Nian Hutzarech, if you put it on top of the bench, so nobody's going to see it. So is he trying to hide it over there? No, you want it to be a simon. You want it to be a sign for everybody that they can see from far away. And therefore, don't read it al-gav on the top. El, read it al-gag on the rooftop. Al-gav itzaba, and this way it'd be visible from far away. And people will see there's two breads. Oh, now there's only one bread. Oh, now there are no breads. And people will know the times of Erev Pesach. Amar Rachba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rachba, sitting in Rav Yehuda, Har Habayis Stov Kofel Hoya. There were these two rows of benches that were in the Har Habayis. As Rashi points out, one was within the other. Ha'itzabav Soviv, Soviv Makefes, Ubesoch Oso Hakaf, Od Echon. And it was a row of benches, and within it there was another row of benches, and this is called a double row of benches, Stov Kofel. Tainam Yochi. This was supported by a brisa. The brisa said, Harabayis stov kofel hoya. The Harabayis had these benches that were in, one bench was within a row of another benches. And Rav Yehuda Omer, istavonis hoysa nikris. It was called istavonis, which means stov lifnim mistov, a row of benches within a row of benches. So this is an aside. This is this lashon of algag ha'itzdaba was on top of the rooftop over here of these benches. Then the Mishnah quotes and said they would put out specifically psulos, v'chulei. They put out these carbon toda breads. And then I mentioned, when we did the Mishnah, I mentioned again now, that a carbon toda is normally brought with 40 breads, which comes from four different types of breads that they made, 30 of which, three of the groups of 10 each, were made from matzah type of bread. Most of the, quote, bread in the Beis HaMikdash was not chametz, it was matzah. But here, with the 10 loaves, that one group of breads that was 10 loaves, it was actually made with chametz. And of course, you can't eat chametz on Pesach, even if it's kachim. And therefore, you would have psulos over here, they weren't able to be eaten. So Gemara says, Amai psulos, why did they have this? We don't bring a carbon toda on your dalet. Remember I mentioned, we don't say mizmal soda in the davening on your dalet because you're going to have leftover breads. And we never want to bring kachim lipsul. So therefore, they didn't bring a carbon toda on your dalet. So what are they doing over here with psulos breads? Some of Rechanina tells us, Mitok shiur merubos, because there were so many carbon todas brought on your gimbal. So Nifsolus Belina. So they didn't have a chance to eat all of them. Every people was coming up to Yerushalayim Olaregla, and they wanted to bring a carbon toda. They knew they couldn't bring it on your dalet. So everybody brought it on your gimel. So every day normally has a certain amount of carbon todas that are brought on your gimel. They had all the todas that would be brought on your dalet or during Pesach, because you can't bring it during Pesach. So there was a tremendous amount of carbon todas on your gimel. And Mistama, even if you gave it to other people to enjoy with you, there were leftover breads. There were the chametz breads. And therefore, carbon toda is a carbon shlomim. It's a type of carbon shlomim, but it's unique in that you can only eat it that day and that night. A carbon shlomim can be eaten the next day as well. So yeah, these breads were possible as soon as it became the morning of your dalet, and that's why there were these breads that were nifsalus belina. They stayed overnight. They were nosar, and therefore they were possible because of lina. The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, ein mevi'in toda b'chagamatzos. So now they bring a carbon toda on Pesach because of the 40 breads, 10 of them are going to be chametz, and therefore you can't bring it even kachim that is chametz. So now they eat on Pesach. Shmuel says, obviously pshita. What's the chiddush over here? Of course you can't eat chametz on Pesach. Why are you telling us this? Shmuel says, Amar Rav Adav Rava, because Hocha b'arba, so askino. We're dealing over here when it's your dalit, when you still could eat chametz. Because sovar aim the imkotchel beis hapsul, and therefore we don't allow them to be brought to the beis hapsul. The kuliyama b'shlosh saw ma'islu, and therefore everybody brought their korban todah on your gimel instead of your dalit. But since there were so many people that brought it in your gimel, they couldn't finish off all the chalas. Normally you would share the chalas with other people. But since everybody was bringing them, there were so many chalas over here, mitoch shei merubos, nifsalos belina. That's why there were so many that were left over. They were no sar, they were left over overnight. And that's why on your dalet, even though no carbon total was brought on your dalet, but there were still leftover breads from your gimel that they would have to burn, and they would go burn them, but they put them up as sibanim. That's why there were these chalos over here that were psulos that they put up. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Mishum Rav Yani Amru, another explanation for why they had psulos over here was from Rav Yani. What did Rav Yani say? In fact, they were ksheris hayu. They were actually still kosher. So why do we call them psulos? Velamai karlu psulos, shalo nishchat aleim hazevach. They made breads, and they thought that they would need more breads for the 13th than there were. But they didn't have as many korbanos as they thought, so there were extra leftover chometz stick of breads. So they weren't really psulos, they were perfectly ksheros. But they call them psulos. So the Gemara says they were called psulos shelo nishchat aleihem hazeva, because there was no carbon for them to be brought with. So the Gemara says, nu v'nishko. So then go bring the carbon. You already have the breads, so we'll go bring the carbon, and then we'll eat the breads. So the Gemara says, sh'avarev zevach. No, the carbon that was supposed to be brought for them was lost. So the Gemara says, v'naisi zevach achar v'nishko. So go bring another carbon and go shech that one, and use this as the carbon to the breads for that other carbon. Gemara says, no. When you designate a carbon todah, you designate the breads with it. And the breads are not the ikar part. The carbon is the ikar part. And we go like the halacha according to Rabbah. If the person designated his carbon and his breads, and then the breads got lost, they got spoiled, the dog ate them, whatever it was. If the carbon todah breads got lost, so maybe lechem acher. So then you can make other breads and take their place. However, if you had the breads designated and the carbon designated and the carbon gets lost, of the todah, ain mei the todah cheres. You're not allowed to go bring another todah. Why? My timer. Because lechem glal todah, the bread comes because of the carbon todah. But we don't say that you should bring a carbon todah because of the breads. Vein todah glal lechem. That's what Rabbi says. So Gemara says, okay, if these breads aren't yet holy because you didn't bring a carbon, they only have what we call kedushas domim. They only have monetary value. You consecrated them, but they're not yet korbanos. They only become korbanos when you shech the korban. At that point, the breads have the halachic status of now being kedushas haguf. Until then, they're only kedushas damim, and kedushas damim can be redeemed. Kedushas haguf cannot be redeemed. So therefore, in this situation, the nifrikinu, you should go and take these breads that are kosher breads, just there's no carbon, so they only have kedushas damim. If they only have kedushas damim, redeem him, the nafkinu lechulin. And then you'll keep the money will be kodesh, and these breads will be chulin. So why do we say that they have to be destroyed? Eat them. They're not korbanos. So even though you're not bringing them as a korban, you can redeem them and eat them as regular chulin. Shmuel says, Taki, that's right. El liolam shenishchad alei mazevach. In fact, the carbon was shechted, so they got not only kedushas damim, but once the carbon is shechted, they now have kedushas aguf. And once they have kedushas aguf, they can't be redeemed. El liolam shenishchad alei mazevach. So they have kedushas aguf. But unfortunately, the nishbach adam, after the carbon was shechted, the dam spilled out, and it was never brought in the mizbeach, so you can't eat them. So they're in limbo. They can't be eaten, because they have kedushas haguf, but the carbon wasn't brought, and they can't be redeemed because they have kedushas haguf, and that's why they're psulos. Gemara says, who does this go like? Ukeman? This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Kirabi. Rabbi holds, the Omer Rabbi, shnei dvarim matirim, malin zeh below zeh. There are two things over here that are matir. It's the shchita that is making it into a kedushas haguf, and then it's the zerika, the placing of the blood on the mizbeach of the carbon todah, the shnayim shem arbi. You put it on the two corners, two applications on each of the two opposite corners, the shnayim shem arba, and that allows you to go and eat it. So these are called matirim. So these matirim over here are shnei dvarim ha-matirim, malin zeh below zeh. Each of them can work, so to say, to make these breads into kedushas haguf, even though you didn't do both of them. The Tanya, what does the Brisa say? We find other breads that are brought with certain korbanos. For example, the special carbon shlomim that is brought on Shavuos, known as the Kivsei Atzeres, the two lambs that we bring on Shavuos, they come with shnei halechem, with two breads as well. Each lamb comes with one bread. So the bread gets kedushas haguf at the time that you do the shchita of the Kivsei Atzeres. Ketzat. What exactly happens? Shechatan lishmon v'zorak dam lishmon. If you did the shechita for the kivsei atzeres for the lishmon, for the purposes of being the kivsei atzeres, and you did the zrika of the dam for the kivsei atzeres, l'shem kivsei atzeres, so then the bread has become kadosh, kiddush alechem, and the lechem is allowed to be eaten by the kohanim. But if you shechaton shelo lishmon, if you did the shechita not for the shame of the kivsei atzeres, you thought it was some other carbon, or zorak dam shelo lishmon, or you did the zrika not for the shame of the kivsei atzeres, you thought it was some other carbon, lo kiddush alechem, the bread isn't sanctified because you didn't do the shechita lishmon, so they didn't get kiddush sagov, and therefore they're not allowed to be eaten, but they could still be redeemed because they weren't yet holy, lo kiddush alechem. However, shechaton lishmon, if you did the shechita lishmon, but you didn't do the zrika properly, so you did the shechita properly, but you didn't do the zrika properly in this situation, lechem kadosh v'eino kadosh, the lechem has become kedushas hagov, but it can't be eaten because you did the shechita properly, so it got kedushas hagov, but since you didn't do the zrika properly, it can't be eaten. Divrei Rebbe. This is the opinion of Rebbe. Oh, this is the opinion that we're talking about, that as long as you did the shechita without doing the zrika, it gets kedushas hagov. On the other hand, realize that Rabbi Shimon Omer, La'olam en kadosh alechem, at sheyishchot lishmon, v'yizruk dam lishmon. He says it only gets kedusha sagov if you do both of them properly. It's not enough to do just the shechita, but you also have to do the zrika, otherwise it doesn't get kedusha sagov. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the answer that we gave wouldn't be good, because if you just did the shechita, and then the blood wasn't able to be nizrach because it was avar hadam, so then it wouldn't get kedusha saguf and it wouldn't be pesulos. But according to Rebbe, just from the shechit alone, it got kedusha saguf, and that's the case that we're talking about. He paskin like Rebbe. Where says no? Afilu tema Rabbi Elazar Shimon. No, you could say even according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Shimon, it got kedusha saguf. Because you know what we're talking about? Hachemayaskinon kigom shiniskabel hadam bekos v'nishbach. That the blood wasn't lost before it got accepted, the Kabbalah, into the cup. And the halacha is, even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, once it's in the cup, you did the Kabbalah, even though you didn't do the Zrika, kagon sheniskabel hadam bekos v'nishpach, and then it got spilled, it's still good. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, sovel kavua. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, the great Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The Amar, he says, kolo omed lizrok kizorok domi. This is a famous Shas principle. That something that is ready to be done. For example, here, it's omed lizrok. The blood has had Kabbalah done to it, and it's in the kos, the kli shares. It is considered kizorok domi, even if you didn't do the zrika. And therefore, you could argue, the Rabbanai told us over here that the psulos over here were, in fact, kosher chalos, they weren't posel, they weren't lina. It's because even if you did no zrika, but it was the Kabbalah in the cup, not only Rabbi, but even Rabbi Elazar Shimon, because they hold like Rabbi Shimon by Yochai, and that's what we're talking about, that these were good breads. There was an animal that was brought and shechted, and the Kabbalah was done, albeit the zrika wasn't done. That's why they're called psulos. They have kedusha sagov, even according to the opinion of Elazar Rav Shimon. You don't have to say it's just a das yochid of Rebbe. Tana, we learned in a braisa, Mishum Rav Elazar Amar. They said the name of Rav Elazar. The Chacham said, Gisherus Hayu. No, these actually were all perfectly good breads. Kozman Shemu Nochos. These were actually breads that they brought a carbon toda on the morning of Yudalit. And they were perfectly good breads, and they needed to be eaten before the end of the Zman. So, kozman shemunochos, when both breads were out there, everybody knew you're still allowed to eat. Kol amochlin. Now, nitlo achas mehem, they took away one of the breads, and they ate that bread, because it was a perfectly good bread from the carbon toda. So people realized, now tolin, you're not allowed to go eat chametz at this point in time, but you're still allowed to eat truma at this point in time, truma that is chametz, because they hold like Rabban Gamliel. So lo ochlin v'lo sarfin, the people for their chulin chametz, they wouldn't eat it, but they were still allowed to get hanah from it. They didn't burn it. Nitlu shteyem, as Tosfos explained, they took off the last bread when it was still the fifth hour, and there was still time to quickly go and eat it, which is what they did. As Tosfos says over here, hayunotlinu achrona besov chomesh, v'chaymash v'yushami, and this is mash v'yushami, and they quickly ate it. So it didn't go to waste. It wasn't something that went to waste, and they would quickly eat it, because in the fifth hour, you're still allowed to eat truma and certainly kachim. And then the people realized when they took away the second bread, hiskilu kulun sarfin. Now you're no longer allowed to eat chametz, even that's truma, and we have to go burn. It's the start of the sixth hour. We have to go burn the chametz. Midrabanan, it's also to have chametz in your possession during the sixth hour. Finally, we have one last braisa. Tanya, Abishol Omer. The braisa tells us that Abishol said, return to Yudalit Amud Aleph, they had another simon Also, Hayom Lesimen, Rashi says, Shtei Paros Hayu Chorshos Bahar HaMishcha. They used to have two cows that would be going plowing up on the Har HaMishcha, Har HaZeisim, right? The Mount of Olives. So they had two cows that could be seen visibly by everybody from far away. They were plowing up there. Kol Zman Shteim Chorshos, as long as both of these cows were still plowing up there, everybody realized it's still within the time that you're allowed to eat chametz. Kol Am Ochlin, that everybody can still eat chametz. If they took away one of the cows, so everybody saw that only one cow is plowing now, everybody knew it was the fifth hour, Tolin, below Oakland, below Sarfin. They knew, they passed it over here, like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that in the fifth hour you're not allowed to eat chametz, but you're not yet required to burn it, and you can still sell it or give it to your animals or get hanoah from your chametz. When they saw that both cows were taken away from Har HaMishcha and there was no more plowing going on, everybody realized that Hischilu Kolam Sarfim, it was the sixth hour, and now was the time that everybody had to go and burn their chametz. Because at this point, it was also the Rabbanan to have chametz, and they would go burn their chametz. This was another simon that they had, in addition to the Lach Metoda that our Mishnah said. With this, we conclude today's shir.